Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into episode 730 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is April 16th, 2023, and we are back. We're back to podcast for another week. Things just lined up last week to where we ended up taking the week off. So you got a nice little happy Easter message from the one and only Mr. Robin Tate.
Hello.
Happens to also be on this podcast.
Hey, hi, it's me. I seem lower than you. I need to jack myself up a bit. Oh, dear.
I didn't want to say anything. You know, I thought you were going for the crotch shot, you know?
Oh, no, that's a head shot. Oh, dear.
There you go.
That's better.
Wonderful. So just Robin and I today, bringing some loveliness of video games, life, a lot of life going on, to be fair. And we'll dive into it. It's what we do every week on Twitch, on YouTube. We also will have an audio version of the podcast just in case you wanted to listen to it. Well, maybe you're working out on a treadmill, something like that. We do this I'm just watching Robin shake his head around. Every Sunday night, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, so technically an afternoon show, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 3 p.m. in the Central Time Zone as well. And that's pretty much the business. So without further ado, we've got no birthday to celebrate this week. And if you do happen to have a birthday and we've missed it, sorry. All right. Story time, Robin.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
There you go.
All right. So, Robin, there's a lot that was going on this past week. I'll start it off with I had an impromptu trip up to my parents' house. Totally unintentional. Wasn't planning on making it. Wednesday, got a panicked call from my dad and sister, who's up there helping out. And in essence, he was freaking out because he wanted to make sure he had his taxes filed on time. And an extension could have been filed, but my sister is not adept with taxes. My dad is very much not still very coherent, drugs and stuff in terms of his cancer treatment still very much impacting him. So ultimately, it was a request. I made the trip. I was the tax guy and also closet handyman because I did then impromptu install a showerhead at their house.
A closet handyman. You installed a showerhead. Does that mean like you unscrewed the old one off the pipe and put a new one on another pipe? Or did you do plumbing?
No, that was pretty much
you installed a shard. That's a very, very low bar, Mr. Taliesin.
I know. Trust me, I know a handyman in that nobody in that house would have been able to do it.
I screwed on a new shard head. Yes, installed a new shard head. It's a bit of a push, a bit of a stretch there, but we'll give you it.
If it makes you feel better, I did have to break out the pliers to get the old shower head off. And I had to use an excessive amount of plumber's tape.
There you go.
I love plumber's tape, by the way.
I haven't had much experience with it. Things plumbers use?
Things plumbers use, exactly. Exactly. Anyway, so that was my Wednesday.
Mm.
What about you? How was your midweek? You had quite the midweek.
Well, last weekend I was feeling rotten. And I pushed on through. I mean, I started to feel a bit crappy on Thursday, and I did race that night, and I had a terrible temperature, and it was rotten. And all weekend, I had taken Friday off. I had had the Easter weekend, so I had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And I felt pretty crap all the way through. And as the week has went on, Judith has started to feel crap. And then Charlie didn't go to work on Friday. And they took the COVID tests. And bing, up the lines. So no doubt I had COVID last weekend. Now, yesterday I started to feel like myself again, which was nice. But yeah, it wasn't great. So yeah, COVID is rife once again in our little household. But, you know, people are getting on with it. You know, we're out spreading it around. It's great. We had a nice...
But at this point, though, I mean, isn't COVID just like the new flu?
Yeah.
Nobody catches the flu anymore. They just catch COVID, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know. It was shit. I didn't do a test, so I'm not going to. So I'll just spread it around naively. We had an ice cream show last week. Local hotel, and I brought some nice gelato home in big, like the big trays stacked high of Bueno and Nutella, and it's in our freezer now, and the kids are not, we're all having like double scoops twice a day. Yeah, that's a chore. That's a real struggle. That is the last of the ice cream shows being this week in our head office, so... Terrible.
I feel horrible for you, Rob. That's a burden.
It is pretty tough. So yeah, it's been a bit odd that way. I came home one night and Judith was scowling out the window at me when I got the car, and when I went into the house, I had a message about the big screen behind me.
Yes, let's talk about this now. This was part of your not so fun week.
Yeah, I had there's a lovely big Samsung 65-inch high def TV behind there. My two lads had a fight in here over a remote control. The remote control got chucked, and it clipped the top corner of the TV, and it's now a wonderful LGBT. Plus Q minus stripes, colors, just lines. It's gone. Oof. It's gone. Now I understand the boys fight.
Do you really understand? Because I there would not be a lot of understanding happening on my end.
No, and these are kids in our care, and they've been with us a long time. But let's just say, and I'm usually quite restrained around them, but I had them both in the kitchen, and I could have filled a quite a sizable book with one word that I said quite a bit, beginning with F. Yeah.
Four-letter word to describe the situation, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So funny, I have cameras in here for security and just to keep an eye on them when they're out here by themselves and other stuff, just for peace of mind. And I watched the playback. And yeah, the younger one, he lost the rag. Because there's two Samsung TVs in here, a 42-inch and the big one, and they always fight over who's getting the big one. And Corey picked up the remote control to switch the little one on. He was happy enough to go there. It was his turn, but it switched off the big TV. And the little one thought he'd done it out of spite, so he got up and started throwing punches. And Corey then threw the remote, bounced off his shoulder, and hit the TV. And as I listened to them as they're scurrying around and realizing what has actually happened, and Corey says, "Oh, we're dead." So, yeah. Now, that was on, I don't know, Friday or Saturday, and they haven't asked to come out here. Now, I can phone the insurance company, I think. I mean, I think I've got a £350 excess. So it's an £800 TV. So it's probably worthwhile putting it through insurance. But I'm in no hurry to have it replaced for them. So they haven't asked me to come out here. I've twitched the Xbox Series X onto the little TV now. So there is an operational one out here. But they haven't been brave enough to ask, can I go out and play? Oh, the joys of fostering at times. Again, it's not just fostering. That could be any two brothers beating the bloody hell out of each other.
This is family. This is what happens in many, many, many families.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I applaud you for maintaining some sensible coolness. I mean, you had your moment of rage, but I mean, overall, seems like you've handled it somewhat, dare I say, adult-like.
Yeah, I just ignored them all again completely. Do not come in my presence. Do not come near me. I'm not feeling well, okay. And that, and with Judith not feeling well, and Charlie not feeling well. Yeah, it's been crappy that way. But there was good things happened, and I am going to leave my desk. I apologize. I should have had this, but just bear with. Just talk, okay. Talk to yourself right. For a second.
I'll make do. Well, while Robin is grabbing whatever he's grabbing, I will say, wait, hold on. This looks like some kind of poster.
So Joshua, he arrived in on Friday evening. Friday? No, sorry, last Wednesday. No, Tuesday. Yes.
From the Star Wars celebration.
Yes, so he was the Star Wars celebration in London, and he had an absolute ball at it, and he's already talking about going to the next one. Funny, there was a crossing of streams when I was at the ice cream show. A friend of mine who owns a load of coffee shop chains, but his main business is stage and lighting and PAs. He does stage lighting and PA for U2, Celine Dion, Take That, a whole pile of other groups. And his company supplied all the big, massive, 100 feet wide, 100 big screens at that Star Wars event and the lighting for it.
Okay.
On the big stages. And he's just hoping, he's now negotiating the contract for the next one in 2 years in Tokyo. So Josh was already going, I'm definitely going to Tokyo because it was such an experience. It was fantastic. So he brought me back some original art. This is number 64 of 250. It is the child, the nubbins guy. Is
there Goku?
Yeah, is that his name? Okay.
I don't know.
And then there's some nice...
I think it's Grogu.
Grogu.
It's something like that.
And then there's a nice Mandalorian poster in behind as well. And then some... And is there another one here? Oh, yeah. It's like a Lego Mandalorian. It was actually one of my favorites, which is kind of funky. So he thought of his old dad and brought some stuff back. So I will have to get the Grogu one, the really expensive one. I'll have to get it nicely framed. It's only from that celebration, so that's nice. And he must have spent a fortune. He's back with two different jackets and clothes, and he's made some new buddies and friends. So yeah, that sounds like quite an experience. So thank you, Joshua, for that. That was really, really good.
Nice.
So yeah. Oh, speaking of expos, I'm going to Germany in October.
In October, okay.
To
for a beer fest.
Well, yes, that'll happen. to the biggest sim racing expo where all the esports guy, in Dortmund in Germany. So near Nuremberg, the big racing track, so not that far away from there. So I've said, look, I'm going to go and I'm going to bring Charlie and Joshua with me as well. So we get a boys' weekend.
You're going to have a blast.
Busy enough week work wise. I'm away very early tomorrow morning. I'm going to outside a place called Sligo. I'm sure you've heard maybe of Sligo before. Then later on in the week, I'm down in Limerick. So I'm a fair bit of travel this week. And now that Biden has gone, it's safe to go back to it again. the doddering old fool made an absolute twat of himself here with some of the stuff that he said. So. He really did. He really came out with some stupid stuff.
He's good for that anywhere he travels, Robin.
As if he knew stuff about things and actually knew nothing about it. So terrible. Actually rotten. So, but there you go. Yeah, I actually... Glenn was up here last Saturday and I was bringing him back down home again. Okay. And on the way down the motorway, I passed... two sets of police motorcycles, maybe batches of 40, two big batches of, and they were on their way to the international airport because he was coming into Northern. He was flying in on Saturday evening, so that was his outriders on the way up. It's last week was a very Biden-y thing, a lot of Biden stuff going on.
It happens.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Well, kind of wrapping things up on my end. I have my desk completely put together, with the exception of there's a couple minor things that have to happen. So I have a slide out keyboard tray that will go underneath the desk for the PC keyboard, which ironically, for some dumb reason, I have this mechanical keyboard, and I should be able to show you, so I don't break something here. So this should come up on screen. So I won this. Extra Life gave this to me.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. Really cool. Very mechanical. It's got that nice clickiness to it. But for whatever dumb reason, it literally is not typing into the browser right now for me. So I will suss that out, figure what is going on with that. But that keyboard will go on a little slide out tray underneath the desk. The motorized desk is in place. I 100% was able to flip it, even though the manufacturer said it's not designed to do that.
Okay.
I was able to do that. And in essence, all of the pieces to the end side of the desk were finished on all sides, with the exception of there were a couple dowel drill holes on the sides that were supposed to slide into the middle part of the desk.
Okay.
This will make a lot more sense once I share pictures. Mm. I ended up drilling new dowel holes on the opposite side of the desk, flipped each panel, so now it now sits with the long side to my right, as opposed to originally it was supposed to be the long side to the left, which would have been wouldn't have fit my room properly. So I was able to flip that around, and then I got these little inserts that are finishing inserts for the dowel holes to cover them up. So the existing dowel holes are covered up. It looks like it was from the manufacturer, and I'm quite pleased. It goes up and down nicely.
I'm actually opening up your view at the moment. I'm putting you on because your cabinet behind you now, just to show people, it looks fabulous. All your characters in there, and is your little dioramas and your Godzillas, and that's really cool looking now.
It's coming together nicely, and once you see this side of the room, I'll get those pictures for next week once it's all finished. The one other thing I have to do is I have to modify my microphone stand. So the way this desk is set up, the current microphone stand won't work with it.
Mm.
But I have another engineering solution.
You have another.
Yes, that will involve this little bracket that I just purchased today. And it's a very small little bracket, but that will be the solution. And then this camera arm will be mounted basically behind the camera, so you can't see it, and it'll come over the top. And that will be the last thing I have to modify. And then it's just a matter of putting everything away. The cool thing is with this desk, my PC is now mounted underneath the desk. On the underside of the desk.
And does it go up, and down? It,
yeah. Yep, it raises and lowers with the desk.
Huh.
So I can actually show you. Here, we'll do a little on-screen magic here.
It doesn't have any effect with the cables and stuff like that there, no?
No, the only thing that affects is really the computer monitor. But I will raise.
Oh, wow, you're going up in the world.
Yeah, so as you can see, the microphone's coming up with me.
Oh.
So now that's not going to work anyway, but now so the desk is now right here, and I'm standing up, so you wouldn't be able to tell, but I'm literally standing up right now. And then if I want to sit back down, right,
so now, shall we do the podcast this way?
Yeah, we could but I'm going to sit back down.
Okay, that looks more like you now.
And I'll just lower the monitor down. The monitor I kept in the wall. So that's the one thing that will... So normally I would have this situated a little higher up on my desk.
Yeah,
so
but it doesn't look like it's too much bother.
Whether the desk moves up and down, it doesn't matter.
So this
for
is
the podcast sake.
So this is just to change your position so you're not sitting in your one position all the time. Is that it?
Exactly. There's times where I get tired of sitting because I've been working in the, you know, on the desk. So I'm just like, hey, this way I can stand up if I want to stand up.
Yeah, that's cool. Not wrong with that. That's a good idea. Okay, I'm glad it's working out.
Last but not least, the last little tidbit to talk about is I literally on the last episode of the series In the Dark.
Ooh.
I have to think it'll stop at season 4. It's taken on a little bit of an Ocean's 11 vibe as it's wrapping up. Overall, I have enjoyed this series a lot. Although the main character, I gotta admit, a good way into season three, I really started to just dislike her. And I was kind of like, you know what? I want her to get caught. I want her to get captured. Well, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see how it finishes.
Check out. I'm still enjoying the rabbit hole. It's coming out weekly. It's an excellent watch. I took a rental from Amazon and watched Otto. And it sort of tweaked me, my interest a few weeks ago. And it has Tom Hanks, and I suppose a bit close to home. And Tom Hanks sort of lives in this little closed, gated street. And he's a bit of a busybody. He's an older gentleman. He's grumpy. Really grumpy old man. His wife had passed away recently, and he runs the street like a military camp, but make sure that everybody has recycling in the right way, chases cars that don't have permits. If your permit isn't hanging properly on your windscreen, he gets all annoyed about it. He gets very annoyed. And his wife had passed away, and he's decided that life is not worth living. He doesn't want to live without his love of his life.
Okay.
And just as... there's no spoilers, because right at the very beginning of the movie, just as he's about to put his neck in the noose, because he's just retired from his work, he lived for his wife said, we've got to move on. A family, and it happens to be, I believe it's Andor, the guy from Star Wars, and his wife and some kids who are from Mexico. They move in. They arrive in a U-Haul truck. They're parked very, very badly, and he gets very, very grumpy about how they're parking, and then gets in the car to park. And it's about how this grumpy old man kind of finds his way again, and it's done. So this Mexican family takes a big part in his life, and it's very, very interesting about his neighbors and old grudges, and part of it's done flashback. With his old life and why he is the way he is, and it's very, very, it's a soft movie, but it's good, and grumpy old men can relate to it.
So there is a movie called The Burbs.
The Burbs, yes,
with
years
Tom
ago.
Hanks in it.
When he's very young.
One of my favorite all time, just kind of B tier movie.
It's up there with Joe and the Volcano and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, 100%. I instantly thought of that when you talked about The Neighborhood and Tom Hanks. I was like, oh, The Burbs. That's my go-to in my head.
Yeah, well, it's an ordinary little street, nothing fancy, and it's worth a watch. It's safe for everybody to watch. One thing I'll just mention, I got another Elgato product. They need to start sponsoring me because of about five or six Elgato things going on in this place now. And I got the Facecam Pro. It's a 4K camera, which I'm looking at now. Right. It's a big monster of a camera. It's a big, big thing.
Really?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's about 5 inches wide, 5 inches deep, 2 inches thick. It's a big, for a webcam, but it's about £300 worth of webcam, so it's an I was dabbling with, should I buy one of these Sony cameras that a lot of podcast people use? And I had in mind that I was going to use it for the rig, but I'm actually going to keep it here for when I'm doing this sort of stuff as well. So it's up to 4K. Not that I've wound it down a bit, but the problem was that it arrived and it's a USB-C connection into the computer, and of course a lot of computers, TARs, don't have USB-C ports. So Amazon's your friend. I thought I'll get an adapter from C to A, and it arrived and plugged it in and the thing wouldn't fire up. And as I start to read into it, it needs C to C to get the extra juice that it needs to run the cable and the data transfer. So then I bought a PCI card with USB-C ports, which was about £30, but I actually think it's a bit not sure. It is working. It's on right now. It's a hell of a camera. But I suppose PCs now are going to start coming with high throughput USB-C, which must be higher than 3. It must be higher throughput than 3. Anyway, it's a nice piece. Yeah. It keeps on being sold out. I got a notification that we're in stock because I was going to get one before and then it was gone. So, yeah, but that's a new toy.
I'm still very happy with the the Insta360 or Link 360. I forget the name of my camera that I bought. So far so good. Enjoyed it. It's Insta360 Link. There you go. Okay. I had it all originally. Obviously, I'm not really using the full functionality of the camera because it has a gimbal, and so it literally will follow you around the room.
Yeah,
it's great for if you're using it for work and you were trying to do a presentation and standing up at a board, you know, that kind of thing.
I think this thing
has also do 4K.
Yeah, this has a motor in it as well. I think it does that internally. You hear the motor kicking up and starting up, and it'll follow you around a bit. I don't know, maybe not as much as you, but yeah, it's Yeah, the technology for webcams has really moved on. So
it has
that's
indeed.
Kind of where we are then, Mr. DeLacy. Right. That's.
I think we can move on to talk about some games.
Games.
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
We didn't actually mention, Greg, that this time next month we'll be packing our toothbrushes.
It's true. We will be about 2 days out. Although I think you fly out on the 17th.
I think so.
Yeah, and then you arrive on the 18th.
Maybe.
You're doing the weird, like, time change, that kind of thing.
Something like that. Yeah.
Where do you fly on the 18th?
I don't know. I'll look at a clue. I know I checked my ESTA, my visa, and it's still current until the end of the year, so that's fine. So and I just checked my tickets that they were still all valid. That's and I think we've all been so busy it's been even hard to think about. I think it's going to surprise just come up on us all very, very quickly.
It's rapidly coming up. I will be flying out to New York in about a week. Then I get back and then fly out to Vegas in May. And then in June I'm going to be in Mexico. So it's going to be a busy, busy travel time for me. But I'm excited for Vegas. It is literally around the corner. We have some of our plans cemented in. I think we do need to probably cement some of the bigger plans further into cement, if you will. So we can do the things that we want to do. I would hate for us to, you know, not be able to say go to a gun range, that kind of thing. Although I'm pretty sure we'll be able to just walk in.
Yeah. It is kind of odd because I'm just looking here. So I fly out at Dublin at 2:55 in the afternoon, and then I go to Dallas. Arrive in Dallas 3 hours later. Not at 6:30.
Yeah.
And then I get a flight at 8:30. So I arrived there at in Vegas at 9:30. So the 18th is a very long day for me. So it is, I go out on the 18th and still I'm arriving on the 18th after going back. Because I think it's 7 hours, 7 or 8 hours behind here. So
if I can make a recommendation, it would be to sleep on the plane.
I'll be so drunk.
I don't know if you're one person that can sleep on a plane or not. But
yeah, I'm going to. Yeah,
because this way we'll be able to go out the 18th and do some stuff. Otherwise, you guys are going to be just destroyed.
No, I'll have a glass of champagne and my lobster, and then I'll put my big seat back. Economy. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that I'll probably get beside, like, in between, like a newborn and some babies that are vomiting.
I hope to God not.
And
nothing worse.
And some guy that's about 30 stone. And somebody beside me with a Biden t-shirt and a mask.
Although I have to think the midweek travel, especially, you know, Ireland to the U.S., may not be as busy.
Yeah, well,
I remember when I flew out, my flight wasn't packed.
Yeah.
It was about, I think, three-quarter full.
Yeah, well, I mean, the nice thing about flying out of Dublin is you go through your border check in Dublin. So there's a part you flew out again. You flew out. No, you didn't. You didn't fly out of Dublin.
I didn't fly out of Dublin. I flew into Dublin.
When you fly out of Dublin, you actually go to a separate part of the airport, and then you go, enter U.S. soil in Dublin. So it's like
the, Okay.
So when you go in through your passport check, these guys are wearing American border patrol. They're all Americans. Right. They're all border patrol guys, and you're on American soil once you pass a certain threshold. So you've done your border.
It makes sense. Our borders have been having all kinds of problems, and so the border between, you know, Ireland, Mexico is key. We have to make sure it's secure.
Yeah, well, it's handy. It saves time when you arrive.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Because I remember when I flew in, I still had to go through customs once I landed in Sacramento. Although it was a fairly quick customs check. I'm excited. I am excited. I actually moved my flight up a little bit. So I'll make sure all the rooms and stuff are situated prior to you guys ever landing, which I figured would be a good thing. Yeah. This way there's no confusion.
Monday evening at 9:30 in the evening. So I'll have that Monday day to fart about.
Yeah. I fly out at like 10:40 on that Monday. So I will, you know, I think I'm first one leaving, as a matter of fact.
Monday.
But
I've got a hell of a, hold on, what is that?
Yep, nice little layover.
Monday, oh, God. Monday, 21:30, arrival in London Heathrow at, oh, dear.
Well, this is the challenge with the coastal travel. So what's going to happen in essence is now, as you are flying back home, instead of going back in time, you're going forward in time.
Yeah. So
you're losing hours.
So I leave at 9:30 at night, and I arrive the next day at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then
that will also mess with you.
And then I get back to I get into Dublin at 7:05 that night with a 2-hour drive after that.
Oh, goodness. All right, let's talk video games.
Robin,
what's been going on with you? I see season 10 has begun.
Season 10, that's 2 weeks ago. So the new season started. A lot going on with ACC over the next week. Big week this week. So season 10 started 2 weeks ago when we were in Barcelona in this new Porsche. Now, the Porsche it's a really, really difficult car to drive. It was a challenge, and I've taken that challenge on. And I really, if you watch some of the practice videos that I did, I just couldn't get the thing to turn. It just was a wall magnet. Anyway, we had done two races in Barcelona. The first one was complete destruction. The second one, when I wasn't well, the second batch of races, I had a half-decent finish. So that was okay. But last week we were in Misano. And during that time, my community guys and Discord, very, very active, good crack, and all like-minded Isle folk. And they started talking about setups, and a guy sent me some setups from a company called Go Setups. And I've been using a setup guys called Coach Dave. And they've been pretty good. I used them for the whole season of last year, and they were good.
Not for the Porsche, though.
Not for the Porsche, no. But I think the Go Setups are better all over, from what I can hear. So the night after those races in Barcelona, I had those setups set to me. And the next morning, it must have been last Saturday morning then, I went out and done a couple of laps. And within four laps with this new setup, I had beat my all-time best time at Barcelona. And then we were in Misano. And again, within a few laps with this new Misano setup in the 911 Porsche, I beat my best time from last season straight away. And we'd done two races through the week there. And we won the second race and we were third in the first race. If you watch the video, you'll see that I was winning the first race all the way to the last corner. And I'd done a fantastic overtake from second place into first on the last lap. And then, what is the term you use? I choked. I choked on the last corner and missed my braking point, and two guys passed me and I finished third. But I was over the moon because all of a sudden, from nowhere, in this car that was just destroying me everything and unbelievable handful of drive, it's turned into something that I'm really enjoying now. So this week we're in back to South Africa in Kyalami. Done some practice, maybe do a little bit more before I go off tonight, and that's where they are. But this week for ACC, there's an awful lot happening. There's a brand new DLC out, so a brand new track, which is Valencia in Spain.
Okay.
There's three new cars. My Porsche is being updated, a Lamborghini and Ferrari are all being fully updated. But the bigger stuff is that the whole tire physics has been refined and updated, and the whole suspension models are being completely updated. It's going to throw a real cat among the pigeons this week. So a very, very big year. And lovely stuff, even within the community. Step J, Jason, has been an avid follower, and he's been building a rig, and he is now on starting to go through his license process. And we were on together the other night, sharing a few tips, and all of a sudden, he has went from, yeah, Rob, when I'm doing my live stream, he's going, yeah, Rob, in slow, out fast. And when he's in the ditch, I'm going, what did you say to me there, Jason? What was it? What was all that advice you were giving me on the streams? What is that? So, yeah, no, it's great. So there's more and more people getting involved. It's kind of cool. And I'm thoroughly enjoying that still.
Right on.
So big week for ACC. Happy that I wouldn't say I have the Porsche tamed, but I have it under control at this moment in time. It's no longer a piggy.
All right. I love the fact that the community choice to get you into the Porsche has turned out to be 100% the right call.
Absolutely. Loving it. Yeah. Loving it.
Okay. I get ready.
Okay.
I'm going to blow you away a little bit here.
Uh-oh. Manga? Japanese.
So, there is only one game I'm going to talk about this week.
Okay, I'm going to have to put this on YouTube.
I am not a fan of 8-bit, 16-bit graphics. I never have been. I avidly stay away from games like this.
Okay.
However, there was a game that came out, I think it was like December last year, somewhere around there. Maybe it was November. Vampire Survivor came out to Game Pass. Everybody was singing its praises, but I saw visually what it looked like, and I was like, you know what? Can't do it. Well, I finally decided to give this game a try. I love this game. This game is...
Oh, my God.
Just, it is so simplistic in its design. In the net of it all is that, you know, a lot of people call this an auto-playing game. I don't think that is an accurate depiction of the game. This game feels a little bit more like the Geometry Wars pacifist mode, where you are controlling your character on screen running around, but ultimately you're trying not to get hit. So you start off the game. Your character has very minimal power, kind of one form of attack. And as you kill enemies on screen, and you do this passively, so you're all of your weapons auto-fire. So all you're doing is navigating the movement of your character. And these different waves of different enemy types, and they're all monsters of some form or another, are coming at you. And they're coming at you in hordes. And you are just navigating to make sure you're trying not to get hit and kill creatures and get their gems. The gems are the experience. They also every once in a while will throw off money, and so you can collect money as well. The more experience you gain, you're able to level up. And when you level up, it will give you one of three choices every time. Or sometimes it's four choices, to be honest. But it's basically either adding a different weapon to your arsenal or improving the weapon you currently have.
Okay.
So think about, like, you have a whip, okay? And I'll say that. So one of the characters has a whip. Fires out just in one direction in front of your character. When you level it up the first time, it now will fire out in front of you and behind you. And so you're able to kill enemies a little easier. As you gain additional experience, you can then increase the damage your whip does, the range at which your whip fires out. And so that's just one weapon. You can add, I think, up to 8 different weapons.
Okay,
to...
this is Diablo, Greg. This is it's 8-bit it's Diablo and Gauntlet.
It is. It has some of that in it. But again, everything is auto-firing. So, and your goal is to make it through the level and unlock the next level. And that is going to be found somewhere on the map.
It's like I made a game with zombies in it as well. You know that?
Kind of.
Yeah. Okay.
How the hell did
you come across this?
Again, it was on Game Pass. It got a heap of praise. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to try. I'm going to give it a shot. And again, absolutely have been enjoying this game. There is a level of competitiveness in you. So as soon as you die, your game is over. So you don't have extra lives. You basically one try and you're done. Okay. However, the money you gain in the match, you can then basically buy perks that will start you off a little bit better than what you were from the starting off the game fresh.
Okay, roguelike sort of. Yeah, roguelike remembers your states.
All of the weapon upgrades that you got in the game, though, they vanish. So you fire up the next time, you're starting off all over again, but you've maybe bought a couple perks, and so you're kind of increasing what your character can do. You got to try it, Robin.
Okay.
It's a simple download. So it's not going to take up a lot of bandwidth in terms of your memory. I think it's maybe 5 gigs.
Looks like it's 256K.
All I can say is there's something addictive about it.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
You go. I got Steve Conger to play it, and now suddenly I'm getting updates from him. We've been kind of competitively going back and forth. My highest level to date is 47. He just hit 50. So now, of course, now I'm like, okay, no, I need to get to level 50 or more. That is challenging because once you're getting up into those higher levels, the monsters themselves are much tougher. They swarm you, bigger hordes. It gets insane. And there's this weird little like popping sound as you're killing the enemies.
Yeah, I'm listening. I've got some audio on here now.
It's just satisfying. There's something ridiculously satisfying about this game.
And it's just a survival game. There is no real point to it. It's just level.
Yep, you're leveling up. Ultimately you're trying to unlock the next map. The challenge of beating the map, so to speak.
That's
what it boils down to. And there are about 6 different unlockable characters. So you start off with your basic kind of warrior character, then there's a wizard character, and then there's a plethora of other characters you can unlock and play, and they all have their different starting strengths, so to speak. Give it a try. Vampire Survivors, surprisingly fun, addictive. I did not expect to like this game at all. I really came into this with a very negative opinion because, again, visually, this is nothing that excites me. This is not a game I would go out of my way to play, and that's why I missed it when it first came out. But it is worth checking out. I really, really recommend it.
Thank you.
If it had come out this year, who knows? It might be in my top 5.
Just while I have that in mind, I'm going to throw up my last lap of this race here so you can laugh at me.
Yeah, put it up on screen. I think that's a good call.
Laugh at me.
When
you see it, let me know and I can talk through.
So, fair enough. It's up on screen now. So is this your very last lap?
This is my last lap, my cockpit view, and it'll be coming around here Why is that scrolling? Interesting. So this is the last corner. I'm in first place. I've taken over this guy, and I missed my breaking point. And poop! Up goes a Ferrari. And then the other car on the right-hand side. And there's a quick rerun of here from a head cam. So there I go, just out wide. I come across and nearly cut the nose off that other guy. And
yeah, I was just going to say.
Yeah, I was very, very lucky not to take him out. And he actually, when you watch it from his view, he actually lifts off the accelerator a little bit and just misses me. So fair play to them. And there's one of our community members. We actually had two Bongo Racing cars in the top four. See this green? This is Matthew Bird. He's in the Bongo Racing green now as well. So, yeah. So,
I like it.
Disaster. Disaster. But at the same time, absolutely excellent. Absolutely excellent.
All right. Well, that covers games played. I will be getting back into Halo on Wednesdays. Work got in the way a couple of weeks in a row, but everything should now be green light for Wednesday Halo sessions once again.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we've got some news. Now, some of this news is going to be a little dated because it was pre Easter.
Here we go.
But I...
Here is the fucking news.
It's some good stuff, Robin. So fire away whenever you're ready.
Yeah, okay. It's older news. This is interesting. A rumor, PlayStation is working on a handheld device codenamed Q-Lite. It connects directly to your PS5 using remote play, always on device, features adaptive triggers, as an 8-inch touchscreen, and is releasing before the rumored PS5 Pro in holiday 2024. It looks kind of interesting. It looks like a Switch, as you imagine. It is Nintendo Switch, that sort of profile. Connects directly to your PS5. So does that mean you have to use it in the room?
Yeah, so that's the thing. So this is the big question I have of... Is this so? This isn't a Switch. It's not a Steam Deck competitor per se, because this really is about remote play from your PS5. So, you know, think of it more of, you know, the TV is being used by somebody, you want to play on a handheld. I think that's more of what this would, you know, you could play it on your handheld as a, you know, and somebody else could watch something on the TV, or even you could, maybe you want to put it on a sporting, you know, maybe there's a race you want to watch on screen. You put that on your TV, you could remote play onto your PS Q-Lite. I don't know. I think the thing that could work in this, in its favor, in terms of the Q-Lite, is I have a feeling it's going to be very inexpensive. I mean, Sony will still put a premium price in some respects to it, but I could see this thing being at like $150.
Hmm.
Because, you know, you're not having to have any kind of Wi-Fi. Well, I guess you would have to have a Wi-Fi adapter, but you're not having to have, you know, a network card. There's no onboard memory. There's no actual.
So it's, know, like it's like a, it's like a, it's a dumb terminal, really. It's just a streaming device.
That's what I think. So in that respect, then, now suddenly you're talking about something that's going to be very, I think, you know, very inexpensive. I could have some consumer appeal. I just don't know, on the broad scheme of things, how many people are going to have a real life use case scenario for this device.
Yeah, because the problem is, I've even found with the Steam Deck in a hotel room, the Wi-Fi isn't really strong enough in a lot of these hotels to stream in any sort of shape or form make use of those streaming services. So if it does that, that's going to be a problem, because, you know, if you're in the street and they're going to have it, you know, somebody's going to be in a bus and somebody will be in the park, that's where it'll be advertised. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, you know, maybe 5G could handle it. I don't know. I mean, who knows?
Possibly.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. It's been a long time since I've done anything handheld. Okay. Amazon's gaming division is laying off over 100 employees. In a memo to staff obtained by CNBC and Amazon Games, Vice President Christoph Hartmann said the layoffs would be spread across the company's game growth group, its San Diego development studio, and Prime Gaming. Some employees will also be reassigned to other projects that match our strategic focus. The cuts in Amazon's game division are part of a wider restructuring efforts at the company last month. Amazon CEO Andy Jassy said it planned to lay off an additional 9,000 employees on top of the 18,000 job cuts announced earlier this year. There's never a pleasant way going forward.
The resources. The whole tech sector. Yeah, the whole tech sector has been going through this, which is kind of bonkers. I don't know what to make of this. I mean, is it significant? I don't know how big their gaming division is to start with. So Amazon has been very interesting as they've been approaching the gaming thing. You know, they've got Twitch. They've got the Prime Gaming. They've released a few titles. They've got Luna. But Luna doesn't seem to be setting the world on fire. So
I don't think it's that easy. But I mean, I don't know. It's just some of these big companies seem fat. And Amazon seems like a fat company.
I think that is absolutely part of it. I think a lot of these tech companies really, they ramped up staffing, ironically, in the COVID times and coming out of COVID because they were like, we need the extra manpower. But now that we're through all of that, I think they're kind of thinking, well, we don't need all this extra manpower now.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Sony responds to CMA reversal and continues to claim Microsoft could sabotage their version. The following excerpts were taken from the Sony response to CMA. The CMA's reversal of its position on its console's theory of harming is surprising, unprecedented, and irrational. The provisional findings, PAFs, assessed a significant body of evidence in the round to support its finding that Microsoft would have the ability and incentive to withhold Activision content, and that this would substantially lessen competition by foreclosing PlayStation. In assessing this body of evidence, the PAFs emphasized consistent with jurisprudence on the CMA's duty to assess evidence, that it is particularly important in this case to assess the merged entity's incentive to foreclose by considering all the available evidence in the round rather than to focus on.
All right. I won't make you read further on this. Oh, I mean, basically, Sony kind of fired back at the CMA, in a sense disappointed to see that they were now no longer concerned about Microsoft foreclosing on the CMA. They cited numerous things such as Digital Foundry, comparison videos about, you know, better performance on an Xbox version over a Sony version. They talked about, you know, potential harm and, when they talk about creating a sabotaged version, some of the reference was not just within the game itself, but the content being offered by the game. So I found this particularly interesting, though, because when we look at Sony's history, and I have this a little further down.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. So some of the advertising for Call of Duty, particularly, and I'm sure there's other software titles you could bring out. So these were advertising labels and stickers. For example, Black Ops 4, PlayStation 4 exclusive. Play new content on PS4 first. For World War II, Modern Warfare, World War II. Play map packs 30 days early. For Modern Warfare 2020, play PlayStation 4 exclusive. Play Special Ops Survival Mode first on PS4. Black Ops 3, play map packs 30 days early. For Infinite War, exclusive pre-purchase and play Call of Duty Modern Warfare campaign 30 days before any Xbox people. And then play map packs 30 days early. For Cold War, play exclusive, play Zombies Onslaught mode first on PlayStation. Yeah. Cat Paul.
So those are Cat their Black. You know, when they talk about harming the game and sabotaging the game, some of that actually is referencing this type of behavior.
Yeah.
Of making exclusive modes or skins, map packs that would be exclusive to the Xbox console and not the Sony console. It's just interesting that that's been what they've been doing.
If anything, at this moment in time, the PlayStation versions of Call of Duty, if this deal goes through, will be better than any version out there. Because it's going to be looked at so closely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Although, interestingly enough, if you think about the situation as it stands today, Sony has yet to sign any of these 10-year deal offerings that Microsoft has put out there.
Yeah, have they refused? They might not get it at all.
The CMA has now basically said, as is the European Union, that they're no longer concerned about that foreclosure plan. Microsoft, in theory, could not offer those deals anymore. I'm sure they will. I'm sure that they want, on the surface of this all to go forward and be consistent.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. It's interesting.
It rumbles on.
We're almost there. I believe early May we get the CMA's response, or maybe it's the end of April. And then the EU now is going to be right after that. So those two big bodies should be done. And then that will just leave the FTC in America. And to be perfectly honest, I'm pretty sure Microsoft actually does not need FTC approval to sign off on the agreement. They just would then have to deal with them in court if the FTC continues to try and block them through the courts. But that is a court matter as opposed to the CMA and the EU and how they handle things. They actually have blocking authority. Mm. The FTC technically does not have blocking authority. They have to seek an injunction through the courts.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
Speaking of crazy, the internet was crazy with this next story.
Yeah, Redfall. There's a controversy around it. No performance mode at launch. Arkane, the studio in charge of the development of Redfall, announced the Xbox Series X will support 4K resolution, whilst the Series S will support up to 1440p resolution at 30 frames per second at launch, with a promise of 60fps performance mode coming sometime after launch. Angry fans took to Twitter and other social media outlets. Why?
Well, in a nutshell, everybody got pissed off there was no 60 frames per mode at launch. And this is one of those things where if you're so concerned about frame rate, you should be gaming on a PC.
Yeah.
That's my personal thing, thinking on that. I've never been one to be like, oh my God, it has to be 60 frames per second. As long as a game runs smoothly at 30 frames per second, I'm more than happy to play it. But obviously this is not the narrative. And in fairness to those that are criticizing this, Microsoft, Aaron Greenberg came out way back when the Series X was first launching, and his comment was next generation, 60 frames and 120 frames per second, now forward, kind of promoting the power of these new versions of new consoles. And yet here we have a Microsoft first party studio, one of the first games we're getting this year, and it's a relatively big title, and it's not getting that performance mode at launch. A lot of people are saying they should have delayed it. It's coming out May 2nd. I'll play it, and I don't think I'm not one that really can tell massive differences between 60 and 30. When I play these games, I'm just playing it and enjoying it. But
so sorry, in this so are they saying that the Series X is going to come out with 60 FPS at launch, or none of them?
No, neither one will have a 60 frames per second mode. Post launch, sometime after it launches, they will add in the performance mode to give it a 60 frames per second option, but it won't be there at launch.
Well, I'll give them something nice to start to look forward to, won't it?
Yeah. Again, it was worth bringing up because it was such a big internet hubbub. I think they made that announcement on Wednesday morning, and nonstop chatter for days.
The last story here just gets me as stupid. Another Sega stupidity. It's a Sega story. It's reportedly set to buy the Angry Bird studio, Rovio, for $1 billion, according to a report in Wall Street Journal, which cites people familiar with the situation. Sega, Sammy Holdings, is in talks to buy Rovio in a deal worth about $1 billion. The report suggests that as long as the talks don't break down and aren't drawn out for any reason, the deal could be done in a matter of days. I watched a documentary on YouTube about Rovio not so long ago, and they're a one-hit wonder studio. Before they brought out Angry Birds, they had released about 50-odd games, maybe more, and none of them had any legs whatsoever. And pretty much everything they've released after Angry Birds kind of failed. Yes, yeah. The ones that sold were Angry Birds play on Angry Birds, you know, just, yeah. just slightly different variants of Angry Birds. The thing that saved them was the Angry Birds movie, and they were getting set up to be a big, big, you know, this was going to be a household name, and everybody was wearing Angry Birds t-shirts, and that all died, and they've had massive layoffs over there, and revenue and returns have went down and down and down and down, and the thing that saved them was that. And then was it last year, the year before last, they switched off the versions that were on the original iPads and phones, the original Angry Birds, and you had to
force people to get the new versions.
You had to then pay to download them again. So they took them off and put them back on again through a paywall. So that's a strain. That's a lot of money for an IP that's pretty dead. So
unless they're privy to some, and this is, you know, again, sometimes these companies, when they're making this acquisition, they're privy to kind of what's next, and maybe, you know, the gamble here is, you know, we'll have the Angry Birds kind of cash flow still there. Maybe it's still fairly strong, but then they also get the what's next thing, and they happen to think it's going to be big. Mm. I don't know. I'm with you though. It doesn't feel like a terribly smart use of money.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? Small Town Murders, puzzle games, everything was generic. They were never able to recreate the magic in the bottle that was Angry Birds. So
yeah.
So that's the newsy stuff. So we have our usual Microsoft PlayStation. We've got that interesting piece of device there. We've got Redfall stuff going on, and then Sega splashed in the dosh. So okie dokie.
I've got some new releases for you, Robin.
Good stuff.
Let's do this then. So next week's games, here we go. Just pretend I'm Kim. Disney Speedstorm is racing on to pretty much every platform, from the Switch, PC, the Series X consoles, the PlayStation consoles. It's all coming April 18th. God of Rock also hitting pretty much everything under the sun for April 18th. Minecraft Legends also coming out to every platform, including PlayStation platforms, on April 18th. Did I say March 18th last time?
Maybe. I don't know.
Didn't mean it. April 18th. Puzzle Quest. That will be coming out on PlayStation 5, Series X consoles, or the Series... I just call them the Series consoles now. PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. No Switch or PC port for that. Mage Seeker. A League of Legends story is also coming April 18th for everything. And then Final Fantasy Remaster Series coming to the PS4 and Switch on April 19th. Big one for PlayStation 5, Horizon Forbidden West Burning Shores. So that will be PlayStation 5 only. So do note that if you have a PlayStation 4 and you have Horizon Forbidden West, you were thinking, oh, I'll get this new DLC. It is only on the PlayStation 5. Coffee Talk, Episode 2. I feel like this. I need to say this. Coffee Talk.
Coffee Talk.
Hibiscus and Butterfly. It's coming PlayStation 5, the Series consoles, and the original PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and Switch on April 20th. Then Switch only, Lost Epic. We also have Super Meat Boy Forever coming to iOS and Android. Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp. That's coming April 21st. And then finally, April 21st to the Switch, I should say. And then finally, coming out to kind of everything under the sun.
Couldn't Stadia?
It says Stadia, but it's not coming to Stadia.
Okay.
Dead Island 2.
Wow, that might be a one that'll pick up a bit of fan favoritism.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. April 21st.
Zombies.
So that's just around the corner. Hmm. And those are your new releases.
Go get them. Go get them. Okay.
Go get them while you can.
Your Halo stuff's happening. I know you weren't able to get there last week for your Halo because of work stuff, but you'll be there Wednesday night about 8 o'clock in the UK for about an hour.
Yep.
And Friday nights they try to do something. And now as well, if you join up with me and go to Bongo's Bits on YouTube and and get the details of the Discord. Jump in there to my Discord.
When
and...
are you typically racing, Robin? When is your typical race?
It's funny, I was speaking to Judith earlier on and saying I need to actually sit down and make a schedule. So I think it's going to be Tuesdays and Thursdays to do championship stuff. And if a Tuesday goes, for example, if you have a win, there's not a lot of point in racing again on that track, because you might get a few extra championship points if you're on a higher split. But so Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then stuff. You know, I was on practicing, and the Discord is there. So I switched. I mean, imagine using Discord on a PC. In fact, I used it for the first time ever the other night. Wow.
It confuses the fuck out of me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I'm sort of getting there. It's an annoying little thing.
It's a use thing. The more you use it, the easier it becomes. 100%. I get it. But it doesn't. The UI... it's what it is. It's the user interface of Discord. Is that's not terribly?
Yeah, the you can get caught in notifications all over the place. You know, every chat message. It's worse than WhatsApp as far as that's concerned. But if you jump onto Bongo's Bits, you'll see the links in my bits there for Discord. So you come on, join on in, and join Step J and the guys, and we'll get you through your license and get you racing on LFM. I mean, my schedules are so odd anyway. It's very, very hard. But I'll send it to Judith as this thing is building. I need to start to schedule stuff up. Cool.
All right. Very cool. Well, Robin, I appreciate you making the show.
Thank you. Those are retrobits, boot sinkers, boot sinkers, and childminders.
I'm pretty sure. So let's talk about Pete real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like. Do you think, here's a question to you, Robin. Do you think there's potential buyer's remorse happening?
Nah, not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet. No. And that probably won't happen until about November of next year, when the snow is coming and there's a gale and they can smell
the
gas
first
fumes.
Big storm.
Or he runs out
first
of
big storm.
He runs out of fuel. Again, it's on a canal, so there'll never be a big, I mean, there might be a flood in the canal, but there'll never be big waves or anything like that there. But I just imagine it's like living in a caravan all the time, but with water around you. And I'm sure it's fabulous. I'm sure some people he'll love it. But I think next winter will be the
test
when he's docked 3 miles from the closest shop that he has to tramp through mud and snow and crap to buy a pint of milk. Yeah, that'll be the trying time. Yeah,
I wonder how warm that boat stays.
Well, I can just imagine, like a caravan, a mobile home.
Right.
They get very, very cold about 4 a.m. because there's no real insulation, and they heat up quickly when you have the heat on, but they lose heat so fast. And I can't. I imagine that's going to be something similar.
I mean, because half the home is sitting in ice cold water.
Yeah. Oh dear, Pete. Fair play to you, mate. You've been very brave, and you know, we're commenting on.
Hats off to him. I could never, literally, could never. I just couldn't. No, but I'm always intrigued, and maybe this is why I keep, you know, thinking about it. But I'm always intrigued by somebody who does this. You know, we have this crazy kind of thing happening here in the U.S. as well, called tiny homes.
Yeah. The smaller the home, the trendier you are.
Oh my god! The mentality to get into that. It's like how? Okay.
Yeah, or tiny homes and van living seems to be very popular in the States. You know, the converted, what would they call them? Like, not ghost vans, but stealth vans. So they look like ordinary delivery trucks, and then you go inside it, and it's a hopeful home. And these
there's a Mercedes makes a kind of looks like a, you know, it's the size of like an Amazon Prime delivery truck, one of the bigger trucks, but these things are like fully decked out campers inside. Again, if I was single, maybe you know, maybe this would be an adventure to, you know, thing, or maybe if
for
we didn't have a child
for 6 months or a year of your life, you're going to travel over the States. And all go to all the lovely safe places like Portland and Chicago and Washington and places like that there, and park your van in the street, and you'll be fine. Nothing could happen. No, but seriously, no. But yeah, around America or something like that, or around Europe, or, you know, that would be kind of cool to do that sort of thing. But I'm sure there's lots of downsides. I mean, a lot of these guys in, they join Planet Fitness and the gyms, and that's where they go and they have the shower and they go to the gym and that's what they use. True. You know, that sort of stuff. And not for me. No.
Yeah.
No. No. My idea of a tour in America in a few years' time will be a very nice open top car, or if it's not with Judith, it'll be on big hogs, and take 6 or 8 weeks and go start on the right and work my way over to the left, and with no real plan. That's my,
maybe I'd fly out to meet you
somewhere
and just make our way back. That would be fun.
Yeah,
that'd be
anyway,
Robin, who do you want to shout out?
Jasmine. Jasmine is 5 years old, and she has been with us for all 5 years, bar 18 hours. So she's 5 tomorrow. There's a big, long, bouncy castle thing coming for her. She was very excited to go to bed tonight, because as soon as she falls asleep, as soon as she wakes up, she knows it's her birthday, and she's back to school tomorrow. So, yeah, she's a precocious 5-year-old. And
I didn't realize you got Jasmine that early in her
18
life.
18 hours.
Wow. Wow.
18 hours. We have Nadia and Isabella, and they went away for a little while. They've came back to us, and they leave at the end of this week. They're being reunited back with mother. They'll spend a couple of nights, and if that goes all well through the week, that'll be a good success there. There was a lovely little thing that came up on Judith's Instagram yesterday, last night, from a teacher who thinks that this is who it is, because they don't mention the names that way, but a teacher of Nadia's, and said, oh, what a change while she's been with you, and that was lovely, very heartwarming getting that sort of message. So but as soon as they go on Friday night, we've got our little Irish Muslims, they're coming back again, so they're here, there for a long weekend. So yeah, it's swinging doors.
Ever evolving.
So so Jasmine's birthday tomorrow. Jasmine's birthday tomorrow. So yeah.
I love it. That is but the whole situation with you guys and fostering, it is 100% admirable.
Oh, we just get on with it. We just get on with it and break TVs. Bastards. Anyway. And you, Greg.
You know, I will shout out my sister, Cherie. And this is my oldest sister. She's the one who survived her aneurysm. She actually has been up with my parents the past 2 weeks now, helping them deal with their medical and kind of getting my dad situated, and more importantly, playing referee. It's amazing just how we go. It's a full circle of life. We start off in diapers, we end in diapers, and we also, I think, mentally speaking, have a very similar transition of starting off childish and ending childish. And so my sister has been dealing with all of that gracefully, with a few moments where she was at the brink. But she deserves all the credit in the world. She's been a rock, and we very much love her for that. So, on that note,
when you were talking about diapers, it reminds me, I am getting some a custom liveries made for the Bongo Racing team, and I'd put out to guys like, this is my idea. So the Bongo Racing logos will go on. There will be that green, but. Instead of we can go and we can change all of the logos, and instead of, you know, Pirelli and Castrol and all of that, I want to use appropriate logos. Depends. So what would you suggest? And of course, so it has to reflect older gamers. So one of the logos is definitely a Viagra. So there'll definitely be a Viagra one there. There's going to be is it Ensure, the drink?
Ensure, yeah, the drink.
Yeah, I think we might have, there could be some spec savers, like opticians, maybe some denture glue.
You need to make sure you have the Depends.
Depends,
logo.
Which is the nappies. I mean, yeah, so that's, so what I do is I send the base colors off to this guy. These are the logos that I want to use and give you your interpretation. And I think that's going to be kind of funky. So that'll be fun weeks' time when they're ready. Anyway, that's the show. We'll all be back hopefully with more of us, even more next week. And as the build up to Vegas 2023 is coming.
Yeah, and the plan for Vegas.
Yes.
We're going to do a live show, right?
Oh,
a live show from Vegas at some point.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's the plan. Maybe it'll be a recorded show, but we will definitely put together a show with Mike, Pete, myself.
I'm sure Mike will be there with camera kit. I'm sure he will, as always. So,
I'll probably have my work laptop with me. Worst case scenario, we can do something with that.
Yeah, that's cool.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right.
Brilliant. All right, guys. Thank you. See you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.